All right, so as you know, we're talking about the fact that words are extremely powerful.
Hey, mom friend. Welcome to Taller Mom Diaries podcast. I want to help you build a beautiful, godly marriage, raise your children in the Lord, and create an organized, Christ-centered home. It's time to go from settling for the world's expectations of marriage and family to enjoying home life, marriage, family, and parenting God's way. I know that deep desire in your heart to thrive as a godly wife and a Christian mom while living out the purpose that God has for you. You just need to know how to do it, and I'm here to help. Hey girl, I'm Larissa J. I'm a wife, toddler mom, and Christian personal development coach. It wasn't long ago when I was an overwhelmed mom and a stressed out elementary teacher, but I decided to go all in and trust God with my life. I quit my job in order to do what I was feeling called to do, focus on family. I felt the calling to create this podcast for you, mom friend, because I want you to know that you're not alone and that doing this thing God's way is better than anything you could have ever imagined.
What can words do? We always hear that words are powerful. You've heard them, I'm sure, heard that phrase time and time again. I've heard it so much, and it almost becomes cliche to where we don't even take it seriously or we don't believe it. But the reality is they really do hold power. And today I want to share with you exactly how much power they hold and how you can use them to your advantage. So one of the first things that words can do is they can give life and they also can kill. And that sounds so profound, but it is true. Proverbs 18:21 specifically tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know what that means? That means that death is in the power of the tongue. The scripture is specifically and very clearly telling us that the tongue has power and that it holds either death or life. And the thing is, we get a choice. Scripture also talks about how I've placed before you death and life, choose life, right? And so here we get the opportunity as individuals to decide if we're going to speak death or if we're going to speak life. The second thing that words can do is heal. Now, you probably haven't heard this one before, but it is biblical. In Proverbs 12:18, it tells us, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." And so we see here that when we use our words, we can actually use them to heal others. This includes when we're speaking to people who are broken, who are defeated, who are discouraged, brokenhearted. We can use our words to encourage and edify and build them up and provide that health and that healing that they need in their lives, for their spirit, for their soul, for their heart, and whatever else it is that they are dealing with. The third thing that words can do is break the spirit. Now, this is a negative one. So this is one that we want to avoid, but your words can break the spirit. And we actually see this once again in scripture in Proverbs 15 verse 4, which says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but the perverseness in it breaks the spirit." So we know that when we're speaking wholesome words, we can once again offer health and the tree of life. But when it comes to speaking perverse words and being perverse, which we see a lot of nowadays, that is when we start getting into breaking someone's spirit. And you see this throughout life, but right, I can think of an example like in Hollywood, right? I don't know about you, but I've heard some things about Hollywood. And within that, really just imagine how certain people with an amount of status or a certain amount of money, you take advantage of that really and use their words and their actions to break a person's spirit. Now, of course, that is a more extreme example of the way that it's done. It can also be happening in your own life, depending on what you're speaking to other people. You can break a person's spirit. Let's bring it home and think about if you're talking to a child and they make a mistake and you are dogging them out and yelling at them and telling them how dumb that was, or "I can't believe you did that," or whatever it is, you can literally break their spirit by the words that you're speaking. So we want to be intentional and make sure that we're avoiding that type of conversation. The fourth thing that your words can do is turn away wrath. And we see this in Proverbs 15 verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And this, I think about the story in the Bible with Abigail. She was Nabal's wife, and she actually used her words to diffuse the wrath of David. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the story. You can find it in 1 Samuel chapter 25. I encourage you to read it. It's actually quite interesting. But long story short, David had you know, done well to Nabal's men, and he was pretty much asking for a return of favor and saying, hey, he sent his men and said, hey, can you, you know, share what you have with my men? We did you good. And Nabal was like, I don't know, y'all. Like, no, I'm not sharing what I have for my men. I'm not sharing that with you. And that made David feel some type of way. And so he decided that he and his men were going to basically take everybody out. And Abigail caught hold of that information, and she decided that she was going to go to David. She presented him with different food and gifts. And then she spoke to him and said, hey, you know, she told him, like, she knew her husband was a fool. She knew that he wasn't making the best decision. Hey, like, take his iniquity, put it upon me. Like, I am sorry for what he's done. And she used her words and even told David, like, hey, you don't want the blood to be on your hands. And so it really spoke to David. It diffused the way he was feeling. And that soft answer turned away wrath. She came to him correct with a soft answer. And that actually changed his mindset. And it got to the extent of, long story short, her husband Nabal ended up dying, and David took Abigail as his wife. So this is a really great biblical example of a time where a soft answer turned away wrath. Because had she not stepped in with her soft answer, with her words and her gifts, David and his men would have killed Nabal, right? And the blood would have been on his hands. So that's a really great example of that. I want you to think of a situation in your life, or maybe somebody else that you know, you may have witnessed this happen, where somebody used soft, gentle, calm, kind words to diffuse a situation. This is something even that I like to use. You know, you ever heard of kill him with kindness, kill them with kindness? So similar situation, when you're kind to someone who may be nasty or mean or in a bad mood, that can shift their mood. So if you haven't tried that, I suggest you try it. The fifth thing that words can do is ruin your life. Now, this sounds extreme, but we'll find this in Proverbs 13:3, which says that he who guards his mouth preserves his life. Right? But he who opens his lips wide shall have destruction. So we see here, it is very clear that when you guard your words, when you are very intentional with what you speak, you are able to preserve your life. However, when you are running your mouth, you have motor mouth, the gift of gab, so to speak, then we see here scripture says you open your lips wide, you have destruction. The sixth thing that words can do is they can justify you or they can condemn you. Okay, so what does that mean? When we talk about justify, that means to show or prove to be right. So your words can either prove that you're right and that you're reasonable. They also can condemn you, which basically means that they can declare that you're wrong, or they can show other people that you deserve disapproval. You're wrong. That's what it's saying. And so here we see this in Matthew 12:37. This is in the New Testament, where it says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Again, we see here where our words can justify us or condemn us. They can show you the heart of a person. We see that all throughout the New Testament as well, that a good tree produces good fruit, and that includes our words. So people are able to really identify you and your heart and the type of person that you are by your words and the things that you're saying. You think about nowadays when we see videos and people on social media, you can look at a person and you can tell if they're speaking the truth or if they are spewing lies simply by the words that they're speaking. Their words are either justifying them or they're condemning them. And truth be told, can we be honest? A lot of people's words these days are condemning them. They just wrong. We have to stick with the word of God. We have to stick with the Bible, because that is truth. Period. Okay, so that is the end of chapter one. Now we're going to get right into chapter two. Why are your words important? Now, we've talked a lot about your words just by looking at scripture, but I want to point out a couple things to you here. The first is that we are going to give an account for our words. Like, did you hear that? You, me, your mama, and everybody else, we're going to give an account for our words. That means that we're going to stand before God and give an account. I have some biblical evidence for you. We can find this in Matthew 12, verse 36. It says, But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. You are going to have to give an account for every idle word that you have spoken. So think about if there have been times where, or if you have a lifestyle where you find yourself being someone who is a gossip, or if you're cursing others, or if you're speaking death and destruction, or if you're nagging your husband, if you are speaking death over your children, if you are getting in alignment with Satan and his lies, and you're speaking his lies instead of speaking the word of God, all of those things are just idle things that you're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account for every idle word. We're going to, on the day of judgment. And so really ask yourself, do you want to stand before God and have to explain why you were gossiping about her and her baby daddy drama, right? Or do you want to stand before God and have to explain to him why you were nagging your husband? Do you want to stand before God and have to explain to him why you were speaking death over your children when he gave you your children to be a good steward over them and to raise them in him and speak his word over them, speak life over them, right? So we want to slow down before we speak and really think about the weight that our words actually have. The second reason why words are so important is because you will have what you say, plain and simple. And again, we see this in scripture in Mark 11, 23, where at the end of that verse, it actually says that when you believe that the things that you say will be done, you will have what you say. It's very clear. You will have what you say. And I mean, that alone can be a whole video lesson. I might do one, so stay tuned for that. But you will have what you say. This is Jesus speaking. So you need to, once again, when we're speaking, ask yourself, like, do I really mean this? Because sometimes we say things that we don't mean. And sometimes we have idioms just a part of our language. We have idioms and metaphors and figurative language and things that we use and we don't really mean it, but we say it. And so we want to catch that too. A lot of times people will say, oh, that tickled them to death. Or, you know, little phrases like that, that may be common within the English language, but it's not something that you want to align yourself with. You don't want to align yourself with that. Or it scared you to death. You don't want to align yourself with that. You don't want to subscribe to that, whether it's just, oh, girl, I didn't mean it. Like, no, like, don't even let that come out of your mouth, right? Remember what we talked about with those idle words. So it makes me think of, if you've ever seen like a movie, I know like Aladdin had like the genie, but if you've ever seen movies where someone gets, there's a lot of them, a movie where someone gets like three wishes and they just haphazardly say something, not realizing that that counts as one of their wishes. For example, if the girl is talking to her little brother and she's already spoken to this person who says, hey, you know, you're gonna have three wishes, whatever you say, you can have that. And then she forgets or she doesn't take it seriously. And then she talks to her little brother and says, I just wish you would just leave me alone. I just wish you would just be quiet, stop talking, right? And then it actually happens literally in literal form. And then she's all confused and like, oh my gosh, like what happened? I didn't really mean it. That's not what I meant. I know I said it, but that's not what I meant, right? I've seen movies like that. I don't know if you have. Let me know if you have in the comments below, but I've watched so many movies. I've seen movies like that. And they're like, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean it. And the person's like, well, that's what you said. So that's what I did. That's what I gave you. It's the same thing here. You want to make sure that you watch your words because you will have what you say. So evaluate your life right now. Think about the words that you're saying. Are you saying things that are destructive to you and your life? Are you saying things that are harmful to you? Are you confessing and speaking that you are broke or that you are sick or that you are not beautiful or not smart or no one loves you or whatever the case is? Speak those things. You are coming into an alignment and you are subscribing to that type of thinking, whereas you need to unsubscribe, renounce it, right? You don't want to align yourself with that. And you definitely don't want to speak it because when you speak it, you will have what you say. So instead, rewind and start speaking what you want to see, even if you don't see it yet, because that's what faith is, right? Which leads us to chapter 3. So in chapter 3 here, we're talking about how to use your words to your advantage. And piggybacking off of what I just said in chapter 2, one way that we can use our words to our advantage is by speaking God's word instead of speaking the circumstances. We want to speak what God says, what the word of God says, instead of speaking what we see, instead of speaking what we feel, instead of speaking what we think. We don't want to do that. We want to be right in alignment with God, right in alignment with His word. Every word of God is pure, right? And so you want to make sure that you're speaking those words instead of speaking the lies of the adversary. Think about 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. This is a part of it. Obviously, we're not talking about literally walking down the street, right? We're talking about your lifestyle, your belief system, your words, the things that you are saying. We want to make sure that we're doing all of that in faith and not by sight. So it doesn't matter what you see here in the natural. It doesn't matter if you see physical symptoms in your body. What does the word of God say? And that is what you need to speak. It doesn't matter what numbers you see in your bank account. What does the word of God say? And that is the only thing that you should allow to come out of your mouth. And of course, many of us are going to have to reprogram our brains and retrain ourselves to not speak what we see, but instead speak by faith. And that's okay. That's why we're having this video lesson, because it's now about bringing it to your awareness so that you can say, oh, no, that's not what I meant. Let me renounce that. This is what I want to say in Jesus' name. Another way that you can use your words to your advantage is to be intentional with your words. Instead of just speaking whatever, saying whatever, the first thing that comes to your mind, because that's easy to do, just talking, saying things. You want to be very intentional and think before you speak. I don't know if you ever heard that when you were younger. Think before you speak. Before you say anything, think about it. And if it's not good, if it's not lovely, if it's not pure, if it's not in line with the word of God, then don't even say it. Don't let it come out of your mouth. So I challenge you to ask yourself when you're talking, whether it's even just you just talking to the air, thinking out loud, or you're having a conversation with family or friends, or even when you're talking to the Lord in prayer, ask yourself, before I say this, is this what I really mean? Ask yourself, is this what I really want to see in my life? And if the answer is no, then don't say it. Don't let it come out of your mouth. And instead, I would encourage you to twist it and fashion it into what you do want to see. Turn it and fashion it to line up with what God's word says and speak that instead. Now, of course, this takes practice and training your brain, but that's what we should be doing as believers, right? To be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how do we renew our mind? We do that with the word of God. So that's what I want you to start working on doing. This makes me think about Psalm 19, verse 14, which says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." This prayer, asking the Lord, may the words of my mouth and the things that I think about be pleasing to you. Are the things that you're saying pleasing to God? Are the things that you're thinking, which then in turn turns into your words eventually, does that please God? If the answer is no, then there are some adjustments that need to be made that only you can make with the help of the Holy Spirit. So I want to give you your assignment for this video. What I want you to do for the next 7 days is pay attention to your words and correct them if they are not in line with the word of God and not in line with essentially what you're believing God for, what you want to see in your life. And I also would encourage you to find an accountability partner that can be your spouse, your family, your friends, whoever, but get an accountability partner, especially within these 7 days, to help encourage you and motivate you and check you when you're speaking sideways. Because sometimes it happens where we're just talking and we say something and it's like, oh, wait, let me fix that, right? And so if you have an accountability partner, they can help you with that as well. So that is your assignment. I will see you in the next video. Bye.